Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Declaration on the way, what it means for Lutherans and Catholics and for the entire ecumenical scene with someone who was actually in on the creation. Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is the Seminary Explores. Our guest is Donald McCoy, former bishop, or I should say retired bishop, Bishop Emeritus of the Southwest Pennsylvania Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. He was also a staff member for the Declaration on the Way, therefore was in large part responsible for the book we're going to talk about today. And he has been the assistant to the Bishop for Ecumenical and Interreligious Relations of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The Declaration on the Way, what does it mean, and how did it unfold?
Well, one of the important things to note is Cardinal Casper, who was the head of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, had done a harvesting of the fruits of 50 years of agreements, and then he retired, and Cardinal Koch took his place as the president of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. And he said it was good that they had the harvesting of the fruits, but it was important that we would do something concrete with this. And so he proposed that there would be an opportunity to do a declaration in three areas, important areas, ministry, the Eucharist, and the Church. He made the speeches in Germany, and a German theologian, one of our excellent theologians, Harding Meyer, was a person who heard the speeches, and he wrote, because he said this could not be done in Germany right now, but he wrote to Bill Rush, who shared with me the possibility of doing this declaration on the way. I wrote to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and asked if they would be open to considering this, and our good friends there said yes, which was very important. Because we couldn't have done it.
No partner, no agreement.
Right, exactly. And I think the timing was just perfect for this to unfold. The staff of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the chair of the Ecumenical and Interreligious Committee of the Conference of Bishops, Bishop Madden and Father John Crossan, were very instrumental in putting together some top theologians. And what we wanted to do was to explore how we could look at these three areas using existing international dialogues. And we did use one American, but most of this was done of things that had been done over the years. And we selected 32 statements or agreements of things in these three vital areas which we said were not church dividing and could become central to our understanding of our unity in faith. I don't know that we had a number when we started out, but it developed into 32 statements or agreements that we knew that we could, I will use the word celebrate, because we were able to say these are things that we agree upon.
And disagreements?
There are disagreements that are also listed in the
things yet on the way to be resolved.
On the way, exactly. Actually, that's very true. And even among the 17 areas that are in the book on the Declaration on the Way, they are areas where some of them will be very challenging, but there are also some that we are pretty well in discussion and will probably find a way forward.
even says in those very disagreements, it sometimes says these are not, this one is not church dividing.
That would be accurate, very accurate.
But some that says these are very serious and need to be worked on further. So
absolutely.
It's an honest document.
Yep, it is. It's a very honest document. When the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America voted in an assembly to receive the Declaration on the Way, they voted on not the whole book. They voted on the 32 agreements, which was important for our moving forward. So that became the foundation not only for our unity agreements, but also a way in which we could also look at the other areas that were listed where we have work yet to do.
Before I ask you about the significance, and it is, I think it is, it's quite remarkable and is significant in many, many ways, exceptional. But before I ask you about that, who are the partners specifically in this? The ELCA is a big organization, the Catholic Church is even bigger.
Yep.
How were these two partners related? Who represented them?
There's a regular dialogue that takes place between the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We have some very fine theologians on that commission, but we ask that we would have a separate, I won't say a dialogue, separate working group, mm-hmm. who would be able to do more than the harvesting but move into a declaration and be able to use those language. So the Catholics had Susan Wood, Dr. Susan Wood from Marquette, Brian Daly from Fordham?
Notre Dame. We'd get it
I'll
eventually.
Get it. And also Jared Wick from Columbus, Ohio, retired Luther, actually, scholar, and a great contributor. For the Lutherans, we had Dr. Catherine Johnson, Dr. Joy Schroeder from Trinity Seminary. Catherine Johnson is now on the staff of the ELC Ecumenical and Interreligious Relations, mm-hmm. Dr. William Rush, who was a partner at the beginning but left the dialogue before its completion. Also, the co-chairs were Bishop Madden from Auxiliary Bishop in Baltimore, mm-hmm. and Presiding Bishop Emeritus Mark Hansen from the ELCA. And Father John Cross and myself, we were the staff people who helped facilitate the meetings and put things together and establish timelines and the like.
Keep the coffee flowing. Well, I mean, it's pretty clear to me why they're significant, because it's been 50 years in my own recollection since the first dialogue, and this was not, as you said, a continuation of the dialogue, but a kind of a summing up and pointing forward. But how would you describe, now that I've suggested my own sense of significance, how would you describe the significance of this document?
It's significant in many respects, because it's not just resources in books and results of dialogue, but it takes and puts into effect that this is a declaration. It is more than a report, and I think that's important. It also is something that will filter down through the church. We hope that seminaries, we hope that seminarians, we hope that dioceses and synods will be able to take this resource and use it not only for clergy and religious, for example, but also for laity, which, unless the laity are people who are aware of grassroots ecumenism, what does ecumenism mean? Mm-hmm. So we want it to be at all levels.
It's significant another way, in that if we use the word, the number 50, we're also using the number 500.
Yes.
Which puts it in even broader perspective. Then it becomes exceptional.
It does. It does. And I think that on the eve of the 500th anniversary, it is it's a resource that we are able to put into the hands of our churches. And, you know, the votes on this, the ELCA assembly, 99% plus, mm-hmm. Unheard of, just amazing vote. And also, it was a unanimous vote by the Committee on the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And, you know, these were bishops of the church, cardinals and bishops of the church who also made that affirmation. So that the significance of this at the time of the Reformation, it's a resource that will be through the church.
Before I'm going to ask you, after we take a bit of a break here, to say who we're talking to, I'm going to give you a warning. I want to ask you to pick out one or two areas that you think were most significant of what we agreed on, and maybe one or two that are still open for serious discussion, so that we can put all this in perspective. But let me say first that we are talking to Donald McCoyd, Emeritus Bishop of the Southwest Pennsylvania Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and the staff resource person for this remarkable document now available online for free, Declaration on the Way, a proposal for a proposal of agreements between the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran churches, which can serve as a model for others as well. And there are other dialogues. I'm Jerry Christensen. You're listening to Seminary Explorers. And by the way, there are other dialogues. We shouldn't say that it's just Lutherans and Catholics who are talking to each other. As you know, as a former staff member, Orthodox and Lutherans, you've had something to do with that.
Yes.
Greek Orthodox. And
actually, all the Orthodox.
All of the Orthodox together. Yeah, Bulgarians, right. Russians, and so on. Yeah. When they all show up.
Bulgarians are a little bit slow to show up.
Yeah. Give us an example of one of your favorite areas where we have come to some serious kind of agreement on this level.
When you talk about the church, ecclesiology, it's so easy to say, we have differences and we know them, where is the true church, etc. So how do you build upon an understanding of ecclesiology, of the church? This document, in a very fine way, makes whenever I introduce the Declaration on the Way, I make the audience read the 32 statements of agreement. And the reason for that, I also preface it by saying, as we read through this, picture this as a litany lifted up to God. Mm-hmm. And as you read it, you really find out that's the case. When you think about ministry, you think about the challenges of differences. We ordain women, the Catholics do not. We have differences in understanding of ministry. The Eucharist, we have pretty good agreements, and we have had those, about what happens. But who can do it? How can it be done?
Yeah.
And this book addresses those things that are not church dividing in all the areas. So that I would say that, you know, that these agreements lifted up to God and out to the members of our churches is so very, very important. Mm-hmm. So I would also say that there are the areas where we have the differences or disagreements, which I think in God's time, and this may also be God's time in a way.
Yeah.
500th anniversary, a pope that Pope Francis, who has certainly set a climate for the church and for dialogues. It's a beautiful time. We look at the Reformation not as a celebration of 500 years, but we look at it as a commemoration, but also as an opportunity. The Pope will be in Lund, Sweden, on October 31st. We don't know what will be said, but we think it's one of the results will be a cooperation in doing diaconal ministry throughout the world. This is God's world. We know that people are living in poverty. There are people who are hungry. There are people living in disease. There are places where there's violence. We need to be able to join hands. And that's more than just the theological understandings, but it's also maybe next steps as well.
in my own view, and yours may be different, and I'd like to hear that, that to me the goal would be when we become fully welcome at one another's table, that is, we can each share in the communion, the other issues will have to fall into place. They're not easy to be resolved, and we can talk about that, but that would, to me, that maybe that's, as someone said in our presence recently, that can only be realized in heaven. But I don't know. This may be that moment of Kairos you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it is not something that's impossible. At the ELC assembly, Bishop Madden lifted up a chalice which he was given as a gift. He had been asked, does this decoration on the way bring us closer to being able to share the Eucharist together? And his answer was yes, it brings us closer. And then he held up the chalice that he was given and said, I hope soon we will be able to do this together. Mm-hmm. How the decisions are made or where they will be made, I don't know, but it's very much before us.
Wouldn't it be great if Bishop Madden could use that in the, one of the first Eucharists we have together, use
absolutely.
That, use that chalice?
Absolutely.
And he was well-received when he said that?
A standing ovation that was prolonged. People were so excited and so hope-filled. Yeah. I think that's very, very basic.
I'd like to ask you what's holding us back, but let's go on to something a little more positive, because we want to know how is it that people like myself and others who are listening will be able to share in these declarations. Is there some plan for sharing the agreements?
Yes. If you open the book, you could certainly, the Declaration on the Way, you could certainly read through this, the agreements. And then you could look at the areas where it needs continued work. You can, I mean, there's a lot of things that could be looked at and discussed. But how do you discuss it? So Catherine Laurie, who is the executive for Ecumenical and Interreligious Relations, and Catherine Johnson, two Catherines in office, will be putting implementing a way in which to provide a study guide. And the study guide is a way of keeping people on, I think, on task. That happened with From Conflict to Communion. A study guide helped people be able to get into the areas of agreement. That also, that's a wonderful resource. So now we have the Declaration on the Way, and I think that when that's completed, the study guide, it will make it very easy for people to have good discussions.
I don't want to paste over. We're not trying to just skim over real issues. We're trying to point up the positive. But one or two people have observed to me, and I'm sure many have observed to you, that this is not a great time to try to get people excited about ecumenical relations. And the observation has been, I'm not sure how you would feel about this, that it isn't that because they disagree with it, because I'm sorry to say they probably don't much care anymore. This is not the 1960s when we were all hep on this. What's your perception about how this might be received by those of us, let's call us the people in the pews?
Yep. Well, as a synod bishop for 20 years, when a congregation became vacant looking for a new pastor, they had to fill out forms. Mm-hmm. And among the 16 areas that they rated, ecumenism normally came in 15th or 16th for the congregation. So there's a lot of work. A lot
and then
of work
you went on to do this kind of work from being a bishop, so you had to take the 18th out of 20.
But it is also something that people identify with the Reformation. They identify with the 500th anniversary. So how best to get into it? In Pittsburgh, we're going to have the Pittsburgh Diocese, Greensburg Diocese, and the Byzantine Archdiocese, along with the Southwestern Pennsylvania Synod. Three events next year in large facilities, and among the things that we will be looking at will be repentance, forgiveness, and hope. And the last one will be at St. Vincent's Basilica. And I think that's an indication that there is going to be pastors and laity from Catholic, because the bishops are involved, and that's a key. Mm. And that's an invitation they're making to Lutheran and to Catholic constituents.
celebration of Declaration on the Way, a statement of agreements on 32 points between the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, with 17 areas yet to be determined for further and to have further discussion. We've been talking to Donald McCoy, the Bishop Emeritus of the Southwest Pennsylvania Synod and staff person for the Declaration on the Way, representing the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. For the Seminary Explorers, I'm Jerry Christensen. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers from Historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.